Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. So Washington will be at Atlanta, and they will be without five offensive starters from the beginning of the season. We knew about Austin Ekeler, but John Bates is still out with that groin injury, and he was my surprise X factor for this season with his ability to block and be that sixth offensive lineman and help set up the rushing attack. And that's really an unfortunate injury right there that's continued to hold him out. Noah Brown was so good last year. The hail, you know, hail Jaden with Noah Brown catching it, the miracle in Jaden Street. We would not have gotten to where we were last year without Noah Brown. But we kind of knew going into this offseason that he's kind of injury prone at this point. And now it kind of feels like they made a mistake letting De'Ami Brown and Olamide Zaccheaus go, and the fact that Terry McLaurin missed training camp, and now he's out and Jaden Daniels out again. The good news, this team has had a next man up mentality. Dan Quinn has had the motto, anybody, anywhere, anytime, and he's continued to preach, when you get knocked down, you get up again, and he leads by example when he got knocked down to the ground, hit his head, and got back up again. I mean, I keep going back to the concerned look on Bobby Wagner's face. I mean, I think it shows you the type of leader that Bobby Wagner is, and it was a really cool story in the Washington Post about Wagner getting the guys together in the locker room at halftime. He was getting ready to give his speech because he didn't know what was going on with Dan Quinn. He knew he was getting treatment, and then Dan comes out of nowhere, and he's like, I got it, Bobby. And everybody got fired up, and they won that third quarter, which won them the game. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. What's it going to take for Washington to win on the road week four against the Atlanta Falcons? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Jimmy Loudmouth in Virginia. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, Awad, what's going on, man? I think the X factor for us is going to be Frankie Louvu. You mentioned all the injuries we have on the offensive side, and John Bates is a big loss. But let me tell you something. Frankie Louvu, I see him as a guy that's going to get himself a strip sack. He's going to create some havoc. He's going to contain Bijan Robinson as much as possible so that he doesn't break one of those, you know, 60-yard pass plays where he gets open in the flat and then just, you know, dodges people. I think this has got to be a Frankie Louvu expertise on display tomorrow. I think that Ouse has got to get loose and get himself wrapping himself around Michael Penix or Kirk Cousins. I don't care who's back there. Frankie Louvu's got to get himself his hands on the ball. You know what I mean?
I love that. He just has not stepped up yet this season. I mean, I think he's played better last week, and I think maybe he's improved every week. But I was expecting the big jump where Frankie Louvu would be an all-pro linebacker this year. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. He's got all the potential, all the talent there, and he proved it last year. I think that he just needs to get himself together. You mentioned Bobby Wagner. He's been so great. He's been stellar. He's always just the consummate professional, the leader. But we need Frankie Louvu to be that beast, man. We need him to be that guy that's just aggressive and attacking the ball carrier and attacking the QB. I think that Frankie Louvu could really turn this game around for us, give ourselves a short field for Marcus Mariota to get the run-pass option going.
I mean, look, I'm praying for a turnover, Jimmy Loudmouth. Give it to me on Sunday with Frankie Louvu.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We get a turnover in the first quarter, I think we win the game. I'll say that right now. I don't care if it's Louvu or Samardzija or whoever it is. I think that if we're able to turn Penix over, if we're able to turn Captain Kirk over and really create some doubt in their minds that maybe Atlanta's not that good. They just got shut out last week. Maybe we empower that thought that they are a negative team, that their season is trash, and then we can propel ourselves to become the playoff team that we all know we can be.
I'm absolutely with you on that. Fast start is the big thing. I keep going back to it against Green Bay. We went 3-and-out, and we went 3-and-out. You can't do that on the road. You definitely can't do that at Lambeau Field on Thursday Night Football. So you fast forward to this Sunday, tomorrow at Atlanta. The offense needs to be able to move the football, at least get 3 points on one of the first two drives. And defensively, we got to get a stop. I'd love a first quarter turnover. That would be awesome to get off to a fast start. Especially, you're right. I mean, this team got their ass whooped 30-0 last week. And all of a sudden, Raheem Morris went from, yeah, he's safe. He's got his job. He's fine. He's got a young quarterback that he's building there with the defense that he thinks can improve with the guys that he drafted, to he could be on the hot seat if they continue to lose and get their butt whooped in that fashion right there. So would love an early turnover. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Peter in Wilmington. Peter, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, good morning. Great show. Listen, as far as the Green Bay game, there is no blocking for Jaden. I mean, there wasn't one guy on his back. There was four guys, basically, the whole game. So forget that. And for people to say that there's something wrong with him, he looks like he's in a cloud or something like that, that's ridiculous. You know, the man, the quarterbacks, the rookies proved himself last year. He'll be good. He gets the line blocking a little bit better, which they are. It's really going to help. And I'm glad they're sitting him out. If he's not 100%, sit the man down. You got a good backup. That's great. And another thing, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen in these games. It's so up and down with the season, with one team plays, gets blown out 30-0, and then they come back and win 40-10. You know, nobody knows. But I know this. The people that are replacing, the people that are out, the players that are out are pretty good. And I think Luke McCaffrey is actually the secret. And if they get the ball to him and he holds on to it, he'll be the difference maker in this game, in my opinion. But that's maybe wishful thinking, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right. But I don't know. But one other thing is, as far as the running back, McNichols all the way starter. He is a one bad dude. He is no doubt about it. He's a tough kid. And I like all the running backs. We got to get pressure on the quarterback. We got to sack them. We got to keep the ball. The best defense is a good offense, a good running game, and that's how we'll win. It's going to be close, but I like Washington. Thanks, Adam. Great show.
Yeah, great call. And I'm with you on Jeremy McNichols. And the coaching staff trusts him the most. They trust him to pass protect. I think they trust him the most to catch the ball out of the backfield. Like, if it's first down during a big drive, especially, you know, two-minute drill type situation, it's going to be McNichols back there with the trust level that they have in him. So I like that. Luke McCaffrey, I really hope, I mean, he needs to have a good game. He's the guy that's next man up here. It's his opportunity, but I think it could be wishful thinking because I just haven't seen it yet from him. I know he was good at the end of last game, but I think it's more likely like Chris Moore gets the run. Jalen Lane gets the run. I want it to be Luke. I just kind of doubt it. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Eli in D.C. What's up, Eli?
Hey, Juan, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
A few points I wanted to make. One is the time of possession. I feel like if Washington is able to maintain these long drives and force Pittix to have to chew up the field in a different capacity, because if Bijan Robinson just has opportunity, right? If he has it's almost like going to the slots or something. If with that type of talent, it's almost like putting in that much in the pot. It's almost like he's guaranteed a certain return, just as much as he's putting into the pot with his talent. Now, if Washington can limit his ability to get on the field with these long drives, and force Penix into a situation that he doesn't want to, because I kind of like our corners a little bit more because they have bigger guys. Lattimore, he's going to be able to mix up more with a bigger guy than these small, shifty guys. Also, if Amos can go, I just kind of like our corners to have some type of success, even though I feel like they've just been getting, you know, beat over the head by people calling in. But I just think Amos is your number one corner, and I think if they rolled that way and deployed their defense with him having the skill set, I think he has the skill set now to take over as a number one. Now, you got to go where you put the money, but almost like how they did with Connor Lee. You say, well, he has a skill set. Let's just roll him out there and see what happens. And I just think in reverse, give Connor Lee more time and push Amos along a little bit. Not faster, but he's showing that he's ready for that role, and I think if Laddie can get on a number two guy, everybody just may just look a little bit better. I don't care what your number is. I just need you to go guard somebody. So hold on to the ball. Marcus Mariota, I think he's going to make good decisions. You said that read option. I just think in certain critical moments, I trust his veteran understanding of conceptually what's happening, situationally, what we need to just have done. So everybody's going to have to step up. I would like to see something I haven't seen yet. Maybe Jalen Lane on a screaming Jets sweep or something, or you have to show them something maybe that is just maybe unexpected. The coach is going to have to get in a bag. Cliff, just with scheming up these guys to have an opportunity to have some success, because you're asking guys to climb. The last point I want to make is we have to take into account Mariota through training camp and other camps. He's had to run with the twos. So he's worked with a lot of those guys that he's going to be throwing that ball to. Even last year, I know we don't have all the same guys, but I was looking through. I was okay. I was looking online. Oh, Mariota to Luke McCaffrey and on this play in camp. Those are the things that come around in the game time. Those are the comfortable things that you're going to be actually looking for on field. Who did I actually have any connections with before the season even started?
Yeah.
Those are the, you see, even with Jaden, it don't matter who he had his comfortability to where he wanted to go with the ball at certain times. Because who we had worked with, he worked with Debo, and it immediately showed itself, because you just can't hide progress. You can't hide hard work. So, you know, they're going to have to really hone in and lock in on the hard work that they've done, believe in the process, let this offensive line be aggressive. Don't make them go pass blocking all early. You know, you're going to have an aggressive, hungry team that just, you know, didn't put up any points.
Yeah.
So let's go run at them.
Yeah.
Let's go make them, let's go bust them up. And then we can move around. You then get them cheating, and then you can take the ball and move around. They know what they need to do. Both sides of the ball, aggressive. I want to see Deron Payne, how he's – when Deron Payne has got his hands on somebody and his head is turned, I say, oh, it's about to be something crazy about to happen. I love that. When he's about to shed a block, he's not just trying to engage a guy. He's looking, once I got you blocked how I need, I'm looking to go make a play. I got my eyes on the play. And if the defense can keep their eyes on the play while they're getting through their blocks and being strong and knocking guys off the ball, we're going to be fine.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. Appreciate you chiming in. Mariota missed most of training camp this year, but he worked with Luke McCaffrey all of last year. That's the guy that he needs to have a connection with to win this game, I think, tomorrow, as it needs to be a next-man-up mentality. Great call from Eli, and I like what he said about time of possession. I will double down. Time of possession is key, and then red zone success. We got to get into the end zone when we get inside the 20, and we got to stop them. Last year, the reason they sent it to overtime, they had just three trips to the red zone, but 21 points. They scored touchdowns on their three trips. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD with you here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. Time to get up and at 'em and start your weekend off right. This is DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond 910 AM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. So the Commanders need to have a next man up mentality tomorrow to get the win against the Atlanta Falcons, not just without Jaden Daniels, but without Terry McLaurin, without Noah Brown, without John Bates. They've been losing guys left and right. Unfortunately, it certainly feels like somehow last year they stayed so much healthier than this year already, just 3 weeks into the season. What's it going to take for Mariota and Washington to improve to 3-1 with a road victory against Atlanta? I'll give you my keys to victory coming up on the final hour of the show. We want to hear from the fans here on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Bill in D.C. Bill, you're on The Fan with AWOD. What's up?
Hey, AWOD. How's it going, man? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
How do you spell respect, AWOD?
R-E-S-P-E-S-C-T? I hope I spelled that right.
Yeah, by beating people's butts and running the ball down their throat like you did the Raiders. If we come close to that and stop B.J. Robinson a little bit, we're going to tear them up, A-Rod, because next man up, yeah, I expect Luke to do a little something. But Debo, I expect him to even have more touches. And Debo Samuel, he can do some damage.
Yeah.
So if we get some turnovers, that's even better. All three phases, A-Rod, like we played against the Raiders.
So, Bill, so what do we do? what do we do if we're struggling to run the ball? Because I'm with you. You're right. We have to try to pound the rock. But what do you do? What do you do to adjust if you're only getting like 2 yards a carry?
Well, then you throw Debo on the jet sweep, let him run out the backfield. He's great. Bill Crosby Barrett, that boy, man, he's slick. He started going, and he'll drag you a little bit, and he can find the creases. Next thing you go, he's gone for 55 yards.
Yeah.
So all the running backs, Rodriguez is tough running inside. If we can't run the ball, well, we got a reliable Ertz.
Yeah.
And we got C.J. Moore, right?
And that's where I was going. I think this is a big Ertz game. I really do. I think you try to run, you play action, you hit Ertz in the middle of the field. Against Atlanta last year, Ertz was terrific. 2 touchdown catches, 6 receptions,
yes,
for 72 yards. It feels like a big Ertz game.
Yes, sir. Dude, to me, too.
Yeah.
Get your old reliable Ertz. And Mariota's a veteran. He might be the best veteran backup in the league.
Yeah.
He knows what to do. You know how to read the defense. Cliff got to call a good game, and I think he really will.
Yeah, good call, Bill. I appreciate you chiming in. The Marcus Mariota revenge factor for Washington is certainly something, but Michael Phillips, who's my co-host in Richmond, brought this up. It goes both ways. There are guys that were in the locker room in Atlanta in 2022 when Marcus quit on the team. Now, I kind of think there's much more to this, and when you watch the quarterback documentary, you find out there was something to his knee. But there are guys that were in that locker room that feel like Mariota quit on the team, and so they're going to have some extra juice in this matchup as well. So it goes both ways, that it's a Mariota revenge game for him, but also for Atlanta to take him down. Let's go to Vic in Maryland. What's up, Vic? You're on the Fan with AWOD.
AWOD, what's up, man?
How are you doing, dude?
I'm pretty good. So,
are you worried about this game?
Not at all. Like, there was a time when I would have been, naturally, because of our culture as an organization. But, no, I'm not. What we've shown over the past 19 games is that we are a team that demonstrates winning things, winning habits, so that we win football games.
Yeah. We beat the bad teams.
What I want to see tightened up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I want to see tightened up is that we take care of the football. We have to have more of attention to detail to the little things that halt drives, and that we stop committing penalties that also kill drives.
Yeah.
We should have scored almost 50 points last weekend.
Yeah, you're right.
Because we had 3 drive killers, and then we had at least 2 to 3 penalties that halted drives that I can remember. I think 1 holding penalty, 2 holding penalties, and then we had the fumble way down the field where Mariota was running Oregon's offense to perfection, and I do mean Oregon's offense. Mariota is a good quarterback. Mariota is not Jaden Daniels, but he is a B-plus to this in this offense as the backup for Jaden Daniels. He ran this offense virtually all throughout college. He ran it to perfection. He won a Heisman Trophy. He's going to keep us in front of the sticks. And as we can run, we've shown by committee that we can smash mouths, run the football. That is the key to this offense. The only other thing I would like to see tightened up is we have to be, I'm not even going to say intelligent. We have to be more aware of our defensive backfield and where we're supposed to be. None of those plays were plays where we just got cooked off the ball. We were not in the right zones. We were not making the right calls. We were not identifying pre-snap. And that's how people get wide open down the field or in spots of the field where there's nobody around them. I know that the defense has gotten better because in the front 7, we are fitting almost flawlessly. And I say almost flawless because we've given up 2 15-plus yard runs in the past 2 games outside of basically 3 yards per carry.
Yeah.
But we're fitting way better. We're flowing to the football. We're hitting hard. We're playing in our gaps. We're being disciplined, and we are flying around the field where we're supposed to be. If we don't give up any big plays in the defensive backfield, these teams won't score. And that's what I see as a football coach. I'm not looking at it from a fan. I'm looking at it, if I'm in a film room, how do we give up as least yards as possible? And in the plays where we gave up yards, and in the offensive where we gave up penalties, if we fix these two to three things offensively, if we fix these two to three things defensively, we put up close to 50 points, if not 50 points, and we don't give up yards, and they wouldn't score. If we can do those things versus this bad football team, then the rest of the NFL will say, the Commanders are not just good. They're stepping on teams next when they're supposed to, the way they're supposed to. That's how you know a team is ready to is preparing for the postseason.
Good stuff, Vic. Love the energy and the passion there. I think you're right. I mean, this team has shown that they can beat the bad teams. You do that by you take an early lead and you put the Falcons to bed. You don't give them any confidence going into the second half at home. Beating ourselves is the most important thing. Just look this up. This team has 19 penalties at home. 19 penalties at home. We had 12. We had 12 penalties at home week one against the Giants. 7 week two. In both these games, more penalties than the opposition. We got to stop that. And he's right. It is the ultimate drive killer. Like, I do think when Jaden's at his best, he can make up for a holding. Mariota, it's not the same. He doesn't have the ability to run for 15 yards. I mean, he can, but not as well as Jaden, I think, in some of these game-changing plays. We have to play complementary football. We have to help him out by not beating ourselves. And so I'm going to be watching the amount of laundry that's on the field on Sunday as a factor in determining who will win this game. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on The Fan. Happy Saturday, everybody. I appreciate you making me part of your morning commute. This is DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. So, got an hour and a half left on the show today. We want to hear from you Commanders fans before I give my official prediction, keys to victory and pathway to success. 1-800-636-1067. I'll go around the NFL as well with AWOD's picks. What's it going to take for Washington to win? Look, next man up mentality, absolutely. Look, I think we have to take an early lead in this game. That's so big. You don't want Atlanta to go into the locker room at halftime and feel like they have the momentum, they have the confidence to go out there and win the game. Washington's got to take a halftime lead. That's a big part of this. Get off to a better start than you did against Green Bay. Stick with the run. And when I say stick with the run, like run in the first quarter and then be able to have the confidence and the ability to go back to it for a crucial second half drive. You cannot get away from the run like we did against the Green Bay Packers. Let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. Steve in Pennsylvania. Steve, you're on The Fan with AWOD.
Hey, AWOD, thanks for taking my call, man. Look, I want to say something about our guy, Luke McCaffrey. I'm a Luke McCaffrey fan in a big way, and I watch the games. I watch the All 22. And one of the things about being a wide receiver in the NFL is you got to have somebody throw you the ball. Like, yep. You can't really do much if the guy doesn't throw you the ball. And Jaden Daniels is, I mean, I've got three of his jerseys, so I'm not hating the guy. But I'm going to tell you, I believe that he has certain receivers he trusts, period. And if you aren't one of them, you don't get the ball, period.
I totally agree with you there. He trusts Zach Ertz. That's absolutely true. Yes.
That's right. And so when you look at Marcus Mariota, one of the things that I immediately noticed, and this could have just been by attrition, this could have been because of the next man up, but Marcus doesn't, he goes to his third option. He goes to his fourth option sometimes. And I saw something with Luke in each of the games where, I'm not ready to say he's a bust. I'm looking at the guy and I'm saying he doesn't drop passes. He doesn't drop passes. He runs with purpose. If you get the guy the ball, good things will happen. I do agree both he and Sinnott have a little too much of that aw shucks kind of look that doesn't look killer. So you kind of get the feeling that they're not really a killer. But I saw when he ran, he was so fast and with purpose when he ran that touchdown. Yes, garbage time, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you right now, that guy is a legit receiver. Get him the ball.
Well, let me tell you this, Steve, all right, because I think you're making some great points here. I will say I think Jaden does favor Zach Ertz and McLaurin, guys he trusts. But he does go through all of his progressions, and he will throw to anyone. He had his big play of the year at first to Chris Moore. He threw a deep pass to Austin Eckler. Like he will throw it to who he thinks is the open guy. Mariota, I think it was the scheme last week. But where was Luke McCaffrey in the first half? And so my question to you, Steve, is what's the excuse if Luke McCaffrey doesn't have a first-half catch tomorrow?
You know what? I'm not here to make excuses. I'm just saying throw him the ball, right?
Yeah.
If you throw him the ball, if he drops it, hey, no, we don't need brick hands out there. Get him off the field. But if you throw him the ball and he catches it, we got a different conversation, right?
Yeah.
Do you think
that tomorrow Luke McCaffrey can make more of an impact than Jalen Lane?
I think they serve two very, very different purposes. When you look at Jalen Lane, I think more like DeSean Jackson. When I see Luke McCaffrey, I think of his father, Steady Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of a guy that is a safety blanket that if you tell him be open over here, he'll be open over there. So I see them having two very different roles.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think that's a good comparison. I don't think they're even remotely the same player. It's unfortunate they both play the same position on special teams. But I see a guy who maybe isn't going to be the dude with three moves on a route, but I see a guy who's always going to seemingly be open with great hands and willing to fight for a contested catch.
Yeah.
So for me, Luke McCaffrey is a guy that's being underutilized, not a bust.
Well, look, I still think that this coaching staff has confidence in him, and this is his opportunity. Hopefully he delivers. Steve, great call, man. Appreciate you chiming in. Let's go to John in Newburgh. John, what's up, man? Happy Saturday.
Hey, thank you, everyone. How you doing? Hey,
doing
I just wanted to mention something about the Green Bay game. I haven't talked to you since then, but the point I was trying to make, I was mad about the defense giving up those long drives, but the offense didn't produce, special teams didn't produce, and the defense kept us in the game. That's what I was trying to point out to you. It wasn't a blowout, and I remember you even saying when you were up in the booth and all how y'all were commenting, hey, we're still within striking distance.
Yeah. Right. Everybody felt like, how the hell is this still a one-score game?
Right. And we only lost by 9 points. So that was the point I was trying to make. At least they kept us in the game. But you being the wide receiver guru, I wanted to get your opinion on this. A lot of your contemporaries are saying flat out, let's release Noah Brown. Terry's hurt. Lane's a rookie. We're not sure about Luke. And go out and sign an established receiver. I just wanted to get your opinion on that, and that'll be it. I'll let you go. But you have a good weekend, sir.
Yeah, John, always appreciate you chiming in. Good to hear from you. And I definitely appreciate you calling me the wide receiver guru. If you ever saw me out there running routes, you would not agree with that statement. I always thought I had decent hands, but I could not create separation. So, look, the wide receivers that Washington has here, they still have confidence in. I don't think we're going out and getting somebody that's a big name. I could see them going and bringing somebody into the practice squad and then maybe elevating someone that's already on the practice squad, giving them an opportunity. Maybe it's like Ja'Cory Brooks, who was making plays in training camp. I think Chris Moore will get an opportunity. Jaden Daniels is out, all right, and he's the number one. We need to get him back, right? Number two, Terry McLaurin, most important part of our offense outside of Jaden, I feel like, and he is avoiding the IR from what we're hearing, and that's good news right there. There's not much good news. It seems like it's coming out of this McLaurin situation. He saw a doctor for a second opinion. It's never good when you hear, oh, they need a second opinion. Well, that tells me he didn't like the first opinion he heard. They you know, met with a specialist, but him avoiding IR is good news. I'm not sure when they're going to get him back here. And so, look, Jalen Lane was drafted for this opportunity. Luke McCaffrey was drafted last year for this opportunity, and they brought in Debo. That's three wide receivers, and Zach Ertz is your fourth. He's absolutely in the wide receiver category. They throw it to him like he's a wide receiver. He's going to get targeted a ton. And then if that's the case, we need a second tight end to step up for John Bates, and that's Ben Sennett. So, like, this is why you heard me screaming all offseason, I need the second-year guys to step up, not Jaden Daniels. Where's Johnny Newton been? I'd like to see more Johnny Newton. Johnny Newton, Ben Sennett, Luke McCaffrey. Even Mikey Sainer still, I think there's more we can get out of him, right? I mean, as a defense as a whole, we got to get a damn turnover. Feels like everybody in the league is a turnover except for Washington. We got to get a turnover. Zero interceptions, zero fumbles. Our turnover margin's minus one. It's bottom six in the NFL right now. Why is Daniel Jones having success? Indiana Jones. His team has four interceptions and they've forced one fumble. They're plus five. We got to create a turnover defensively. Got to happen tomorrow. Especially against Michael Penix, who feels like he's just ready to vomit all over himself. If you force him off of his spot, get a good pass rush, force him off of his spot. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. That's where you can check me out Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. And always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We've got this show here, which is also podcasted. You can find that by searching Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Wesley is our producer. He'll put that together, available for you on our ride home. And Wes said to me during the break, AWOD, did you watch UVA hosting Florida State? I said I was at Florida State at UVA. A huge top 10 win for the Hoos. A massive win. What was the best college football game I've been to in years. That was Friday Night Lights at its finest. In the ACC right there, Florida State was embarrassingly bad last year. This year they start the year with a big win over Alabama, and the Seminoles feel like they're back, led by transfer portal quarterback Tommy Castellanos. Florida State blows out their next two opponents and came to Charlottesville as a top 10 team, number 8, with all of the momentum. Virginia, here into year 4 of the Tony Elliott era, and he had not found a quarterback until he teamed up with his old buddy. So if you're just tuning in right now and you don't know much about UVA football, so Tony Elliott was hired 4 years ago after he was a coordinator under Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, where they had all the success. Well, when he started at Clemson with Dabo Sweeney, they also had a quarterback's coach, Morris. Yeah, the dad of Chandler Morris. So he worked with Tony Elliott about 10 years ago. He leaves with his kid, goes to Oklahoma, and his kid ends up playing for Oklahoma, and then playing for TCU, not getting much playing time. He transfers again to North Texas, where he was spectacular, right? And then he got his opportunity to rise back up in the ranks, comes to UVA, where he teams up with his dad's buddy, Tony Elliott, from their time at Clemson, and he gets another shot here at P4 football. And I hate the transfer portal. It's the stupidest thing ever, right? I mean, let's make a damn decision and hold it for 4 years. I hate that we can't do that. All right, if there's a change in coach, that's fine. But this whole thing of we're paying freshmen and then they can leave, it's a nightmare situation. This is the one positive story of the transfer portal that I want to talk about at end. Chandler Morris is a star. He's 24 years old right now, all right? He's grown. He's gotten better. Like I said, he's improved every single year, even though he hasn't gotten always the playing time. He's had some really good moments in his college career, and last night was the best of all of them. As Chandler Morris led UVA to their best victory of the Tony Elliott era, and probably their best victory in 6 years since they won the ACC in 2019, Morris was 26 of 35. He did have three interceptions, all right? Two of them were not his fault. All right, he threw it to a receiver. It was tipped and landed into Florida State's hands. But he led led UVA on the game-winning drive. All right, and he kept his team in it in this game here when they needed it most. And so it was literally in an electric atmosphere, just an electric atmosphere there. Awesome. I mean, I was kind of worried that UVA's fan base has not been best at showing up at Scott Stadium, but it's Friday night. There's not much else to do there. Go to the game. The student body showed up, and it certainly helped that there are a ton of Florida State alum in the East Coast. The entire Florida State section of the crowd was packed. UVA struggled to fill out the top bowl, but the student section was terrific. A really good tailgate. Pretty easy, I was surprised, to park and then walk to the stadium. But wild start to that game. UVA gets a quick turnover and scores, and then another score, and they're up 14-0 over Florida State. And then in a span of what like felt like 5 real minutes, Florida State goes touchdown, interception, touchdown, interception, touchdown, and they went up 21-14. UVA scores it to tie it just before the break, and we went in the locker room 21-21. And I was like, this is the best first half I've ever seen. The second half did not disappoint at all, as this was truly a back-and-forth game. UVA and Chandler Morris get into the end zone in the second half to start the fourth quarter. It's 28-28. Back and forth there in the fourth quarter. It's 35-35. We go to overtime, and both teams get a field goal. Double overtime. UVA, 4 plays, and they get into the end zone on Chandler Morris' run. And maybe I should be giving him more credit for when he chose to run in this game. It was terrific. It was kind of like the read option play that you see with Marcus Mariota and Jaden Daniels. He had 8 carries for 37 yards, 3 touchdown runs. He chose to keep it on the read option when he was in the red zone, and he smelled the end zone, and he got to the house. 3 big touchdown runs by Chandler Morris there. And so he gets that big one there in double overtime. And so Florida State has an opportunity to tie it. The big play I thought also was not only did they get in the end zone, they converted the 2-point conversion. So that means Florida State comes in here. They know we have to go 25 yards, get into the end zone, and we have to complete the 2-point conversion. On third down, their wide receiver, Deuce Robinson, was wide open. This guy is going to be a star in the NFL. I did some research on him last night. He was like a 5-star recruit, I think, out of Florida, that ended up going to USC for a year. Transfers to Florida State. Listen to this line last night. 9 receptions, 147 yards, and a touchdown. 16 yards a pop. They were throwing it to him back shoulder. They were throwing it to him fly routes. The UVA could not stop him. And so on the key third down in the second overtime, Deuce Robinson does a double move on the sideline, wide open, ball hits his hands, and he bobbles it. And somehow he then comes down with the catch, gets 1 foot in. They review it. No, the foot is not in, out of bounds. Florida State gets 1 opportunity left on fourth down. They throw it. I think it's incomplete or intercepted. And the student body rushed the field like I've never seen before. I mean, it was a sight to see right there. You're seeing Barstool and everybody calling it the greatest field storming of all time. It was so cool to watch in person and to see that live. Wesley, you're running the ones and twos today. You're the one that asked me if I watched that game. What was your perspective of Florida State at UVA?
You know, I wasn't too shocked about it because people were talking about all week how UVA was going to defend their home.
Yeah. Well, UVA fans did not expect the win. We had
Kevin
a bunch
Sheehan
in our section.
Called it. So I was working with him yesterday. He had UVA winning.
I like that. I liked them to cover the spread of 6.5. The UVA fans sitting next to us, they were like, why is the spread 6.5 and Florida State's a top 10 team? They kept saying, Vegas knows something we don't know. And I was like, I'm not sure you know how good your quarterback Chandler Morris is, because he was better than Tommy Castellanos. He has been, a couple weeks into the season, one of the better quarterbacks in the ACC, and they're going to go as far as he goes. Trell Harris on the outside is their best receiver, and Jamari Taylor was terrific at running back. He had 27 carries for 99 yards. So, Wesley, what did you think of the field storming, man?
That it was smooth.
Yeah. Because
they were on field level, like we talked about before the show. And once that ball was incomplete, you saw like 20,000 kids just storm the field. It was sick.
Yes. Definitely dangerous.
And oh, yeah. I mean, the question is, that Florida State wide receiver, I wonder how he ended up.
Yeah. I am seeing that UVA is, it looks like, being fined $50,000 for the field storming.
Worth it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I did feel good for the fans. You know, we were sitting next to UVA fans that said they've been going to games for 29 years. They had kids that were, I think, freshmen, like 18 years old, and they were like, their kids make fun of them for going to games every week. And so they were like, we're so proud that our kids will now get to experience this. So I thought that was cool, and UVA is building something, and I still don't know that they're the best team in Virginia right now. I think JMU has a lot of talent. I would love for those two teams to face off against each other. But UVA definitely in a better spot right now than Virginia Tech, who now is going to play tomorrow night at NC State.
Adam, I'm curious on what you think the rest of the season looks like for UVA.
Well, this was their hardest game on the schedule by far. So when the schedule came out, I said they have an opportunity to win 8 games this year based on their schedule. I mean, it was cupcake after cupcake to start the season. They really should have won at NC State. Morris made a bad mistake there and had a bad interception. I mean, he had 3 more against Florida State. He's a gunslinger. But the next test at Louisville is very interesting, because if they win that one and have the momentum of 4 wins in a row, they will win against Washington State, North Carolina. Bill Belichick doesn't have a squad this year. California, Wake, Duke, and they'll probably beat Virginia Tech. This Louisville game is the big test for them. Louisville's been building their program as well. They've got a great coach, Brohm, who seems to be the quarterback whisperer. They've got a good quarterback as well, and a transfer, Miller Moss. So they're at Pitt this weekend, and I kind of actually think Pitt's going to win that one. The ACC is going to end up beating each other up. Clemson's not the Clemson of old, and so I'm looking at like Miami, Georgia Tech, and Virginia as 3 teams that could finish towards the top. I'm not giving up on Florida State either to pretty much run the table after this, but their next test is Miami, and so that's going to be a fantastic game. I don't know how good Miami is. I think Carson Beck has been terrific. I don't think their defense is terrific, though. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. One more thing, Wes?
Yeah, so and you got to rank UVA after this, right?
Yeah. I mean, they lost to NC State, and that's a big win at home. But look, the ACC just doesn't get the love. You know,
it does not.
That's what it's going to come down to. I mean, Florida State was, I believe, the only ACC team. No, Georgia Tech was at 16. So they'll probably have
it was
teams
Miami,
ranked.
Georgia Tech, and FSU.
Yeah, yeah. No, Georgia Tech and Haynes King. I saw this one coming because that program has been really building it, and Haynes King is just way too underrated at quarterback. He's better than Klubnik, and he proved that in the game against him. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.